Good morning. Welcome to the church family of St. Linus. We extend a warm welcome to you and to our visitors as we worship together on the third Sunday of Advent. The announcement for this week, please join the men's club today from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. in the afternoon in the activities room for their annual Breakfast with Santa. Come and enjoy a nice pancake breakfast and even get your picture taken with Santa. There will be a second collection this weekend to benefit the Religious Retirement Fund. The Christmas wafers are available this weekend. You may pick them up in the sacristy or the parish office. The funeral mass for Helen Rook will be Monday at 10 a.m., for Robert Perugia at 12:30 p.m., and for Edward Reska on Monday at 2:30 p.m. See page 3 in the bulletin for the meetings this week. Please stand and join in prayer and in song.
Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us examine our conscience, acknowledge our sins, and call upon God's mercy.
Lord Jesus, you bring good news to the poor. Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Christ Jesus, you dispel our fears. Christe eleison.
Christe eleison.
Lord Jesus, you announce a year of favor from the Lord. Kyrie eleison.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Let us pray. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, ever faithful to your promises and ever close to your church, the earth rejoices in hope of the Savior's coming and looks forward with longing to his return at the end of time. Prepare our hearts. Remove the sadness that hinders us from feeling the joy and hope which his presence will bestow. For he is Lord forever and ever.
Amen. from the book of the prophet Zephaniah. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion. Be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you as one sings at festivals. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Upon me because he has anointed me to bring glory. glad tidings to the poor.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even the tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone. And be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Messiah. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I want to especially welcome all the families that are here. This is a Mass that is a special one for participation of our children. Isn't it nice to have the children's choir here? Didn't our lectors do a good job? I could hear and understand everything you said. That's very good. Well, I want to invite all the children who want to come up in front to do so. Today's homily is in two parts, and you're going to help us with the first part. Then I'm going to invite you to go back to your seats, because I not only want to speak to you, but to everybody based on what we hear in the gospel today. And Deacon Andrew taught me something last time he did this, because I like the way that he got to sit down on the job. Okay, so this is going to see if you were paying attention to the gospel reading. Who was the person that everybody was coming out to see and who speaks in the reading today? He's one of the great people in the New Testament. John. Which John? John the Apostle? John the Baptist. Okay. Now, the adults that have gotten that right, just raise your hand. Okay. Now, they were asking John a question. The crowds asked John a question. Do you remember what the question was? I think she should get free pancakes after after church today. Very good. That is exactly right. The crowds went up to John the Baptist and said, "What should we do?" Now, that was the hardest question to answer. Now, tax collectors, they weren't very good people. because they took advantage of their position. They cheated people a lot. Even these people were coming out to John the Baptist, and they had a question for John the Baptist. And what was that question? Hint, you've already just heard it. What should we do? And then soldiers asked John the Baptist a question. What was the question the soldiers asked? You're catching on. What should we do? Okay, so there's a pattern here, isn't it? What's the pattern? Everybody was asking, what should we do? That's the question of the day. What should we do? Now, why were they asking this question? They were leaving Jerusalem and going out in the desert. That's a long walk. I would say longer than from here to Canton. And they didn't have cars. And they were leaving where it was cool and green to where it was hot and barren. Because John was out there, and we heard from him last week. He was proclaiming a message, and it was prepare. Prepare for what? Prepare for the way of the what? Prepare the way of the Lord. And who was the Lord that they were preparing for? We say it together. Jesus. That's right. So in today's gospel, after John, we heard from John last week, this is the same event. John was saying, prepare the way of the Lord, and now they were asking him, what should we do? Why were they asking, what should we do? Because between the gospel that we read yesterday and the last week and the gospel we read today, something else happened. And that was, see, John wasn't really good with being gracious. Sometimes he said things stark and hard. And after he said, prepare the way of the Lord, he called the crowds. Now, I don't recommend you try this at home, okay? He called the crowds a brood of vipers. What's a viper? A snake. It's a big snake. And what's a brood of vipers? Not exactly. A big pack of snakes. A whole group of them. Different animals have different names for what a group is. And for snakes, it's a brood. So John was saying, hey, pack of snakes. If you call somebody a snake, is that a good thing? No. Well, then he said, he knew their hearts, at least the hearts of some of those that were there, probably not everybody. He said, bear the fruit of repentance. That's what he said. He says, produce the fruit of repentance. What does that mean? He called them a pack of snakes and bear the fruit of repentance. Now, this is a guy that everybody was going out to see because his message had power, but it wasn't always the power that made him feel good. What does produce the fruits of repentance mean? What's repentance? When we say to God we are proud, when we say to God we're really happy, when we say to God we are what? Sorry. That's right. And he's saying, okay, I don't want you to just say you're sorry. I want you to prove it in what you say you do. So, sometimes, who here sometimes fights with their brother or sister? Okay. Who has had occasion before to say you're sorry? Okay, does that mean that you've stopped hitting your brother or sister? Well, why not? John is saying, when you say you're sorry, it means you're really resolving, you're really deciding not to do it anymore. Not just to try and not get caught. That's what John is saying. You know that's true, don't you? That's what we mean by repentance. When we say we're sorry, we're saying, we know we're not supposed to do it again. And John says, you know what's even more important than saying you're sorry? It's not doing it anymore. Because what good is saying you're sorry if you still keep doing it? It sort of casts a doubt on the fact as to whether you're really sorry. And that goes not just for you. I think some big people know it goes for them too. And John goes on to say, he not only calls them a pack of snakes, and I don't want to hear it, I want to see it. But then he says, now, don't tell me you're Jewish. Don't tell me you're sons and daughters of Abraham. Because God can raise up folks like that from these stones, from the leaves that have fallen from the trees. You need to show it. We have an expression sometimes that says the proof is in the pudding. We'll see it by our actions. Because if you don't, bear this fruit, you're going to be like a tree that's cut down and thrown into the fire. He's talking about the judgment that comes at the end. So bear the fruit. Because if you don't, you're not going to like what happens. So this is Advent. John is saying, prepare the way of the Lord. And John says to us, produce the fruits of repentance. Okay, what can we do to show repentance? What's the best way to show repentance? The absolute best way. And some of you just received this opportunity last night. So what's the best way to show repentance? Not doing it ever again, that's an important part. But how can there be power not to do that? Because we're going to want to do it again, really, believe me. Okay, what's the best way? Repenting, and what's the best way to show that? The sacrament of... what is it?
Reconciliation.
That's right. That's right. Now, hopefully you have opportunities to do this in religious ed. And in the school, I'm talking to the adults now. When was the last time you've been to confession? We believe a sacrament is an encounter with Jesus. It's the best way. It's not the only way by any means, but it's the best way. It's God's best way for we to experience His mercy and His power to change. So this is a season we do that especially. And Tuesday at 1 and Thursday at 7 o'clock at night, we're going to have opportunities to do that all together. But we repent at the beginning of Mass when we say, Lord, have mercy. At the end of the day, as soon as we do it. Who's perfect here? There might be a little doubt about that. I think the Bible says none of us are. In fact, I know the Bible says none of us are. But there is a perfection that... I mean, and that's talking about a perfection of obedience, and we all failed there. But there is a perfection, and I bet that's what you were talking about. I bet this is it. There's a perfection we all can have, and that's the perfection of repentance. Because God can forgive our sins and wash us clean and make us right if we imperfectly do so, when we perfectly repent. And that's a perfection that sinners, everyone here, can always obtain. Then John says, the real proof of that is going to be bearing the fruit. So the question of the day is what? What should we do? What do you think John would say to parents? What do you think John would say to your parents? What should your parents do? Let you do whatever you want and never clean your room? What do you think God would say to your parents? Okay, a non-sitter on the floor anyway, yes. What would God say your parents should do? Take care of you? Yeah. That's right. That's just like what I got down here, see? That's what I wrote. And what's the most important way for your parents to take care of you? Free pancakes for everybody who gets this one. Yeah. To love you, yes, but I'm looking for something else, not free pancakes yet. Take care of you. Helping you decide what you want for breakfast and cooking for you, yes. One more. These are all important, and yes, God wants your parents to do them. You look like you want free pancakes, yeah. Well, teaching you to respect others. These are all very important. But I'm going to say the most important thing that they have is to teach you about God and to raise you in your faith. And that's what they're doing in bringing you here. But this is an important part of that, but it's not sufficient. So I would say, John would say to parents, be faithful to the promises you made at baptism, at your baptism, to raise you in the faith. And that's even more important than food and clothing and shelter and even your education. They're not mutually exclusive, but one is temporal and one is eternal. What do you think God would say to your fathers? Teach you about God, yes. Teach you about God, you're catching on. Yeah, teach you about God. He would. But I would say, John would say to the fathers, lay down your life for your wife and your children. And that means being the spiritual leader of your household. If you don't feel you're ready to do that, that's your responsibility. Get ready. What do you think John would say to wives, to mothers that are here? Raise you in the faith, take care of you, love you, all those things. Teach you about God. I would say to them, in addition to all these things, he'd say, learn from Mary. Learn from Mary, who is a perfect model of confidence, strength, and trust. And a model of doing great things for God. What do you think God would say to you? You've said some of these things already. Through John the Baptist, what would God... The question is, what should you do? What's most important? Yes. Pick up your toys. Listen to your parents. Respect your mother and father, yes. Be kind to your friends. Love your family. How are they doing? Good. One more. Go to school, and not only go to school, but pay attention and learn and do your homework. Learn respect, obedience, and service of others. Okay, here's one for you. What would John the Baptist say to priests? What would he say to me? Teach people about God. Yes, preside at where we remember and enter into the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That's what the Mass is, yes. That teach you that Jesus is all around you. take care of my family, and this is my family, isn't it? I would say, John the Baptist would say to priests, put holiness of life first. Be a shepherd before you an administrator. That means put loving people before getting things done. That's a hard one. And always remember that your greatest love is God alone. We have a lot of parish volunteers here. I think John the Baptist would say to you, make sure your family and personal life comes first. Because God can be an excuse. Even the service of God can be an excuse to avoid what we know is most important. I think if John the Baptist was here, if we said, what should we do? He'd say, have your relationship with God be the most important thing in your life before anything else. Even before your spouse, your children. Ooh, should God be more important to your parents than you? That's a hard one, isn't it? More important than church or health? I say yes. Because if God is number one and you're number two, then you're going to be much better off than if you were number one and God wasn't. In fact, that's the best way to do the best for you, is to put God number one. We all need to learn to pray. That's what God would say to you. You can pray. You can hear God. You can hear God for your parents, for your brothers and sisters, and for your friends. You can learn about Jesus in the Bible. You can have a relationship with God. And our readings say, if you do that, you're going to be really happy. Because today a special word from God is to be, well, were you listening? It's to be happy, but another word is used. What was the word we heard several times in the readings? Three first readings. Very good. Rejoice. That means be glad. In fact, it says, shout for joy. That means we're so happy because we know God that we just go, woo! Can you go, woo? Takes a little practice. But it comes from our heart because we know God loves us and God is with us no matter what else is happening. God is with us and God loves us. So the question we're trying to answer is, what should we do? And for each one of us, it's different. And for each one of us, it's very much the same. Now I invite you to go back to your seats. They did a good job answering the questions, didn't they? What should you do? I think we aim too low. Okay, we all say, avoid mortal sins. Okay, we know we're supposed to do that, don't we? That's important, isn't it? Is that a category that we still think in? Do we know what it means to be in a state of grace? We should. Okay, so we know avoid mortal sins. Get to church. I'm preaching to the choir here. You're here. We know we're supposed to do that, but did you miss the holy day last Tuesday? Did you miss it through your own fault? If so, what are you going to do about it? Do you just dismiss it too easily? Do you really want to do that? Do you know the risk you're taking? On what authority would you make that judgment? It's so easy for God just to be another one of those things we fit into our lives. Another item on our busy schedule, a trip to the gym, paying the bills, cutting the grass.
Is that the way it's supposed to be? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love him with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your strength. You can go to church and not do that. This isn't the same thing as cutting the grass. But the governing principle, the most important thing in your life, is it family or work or having fun? What's the one thing that you can't live without? The only person or thing that should be in that place is the one who made you. And the one who emptied himself out of love for you.
I heard a priest say recently at a men's conference, he said his constant prayer was, Lord, teach me to live. Lord, teach me to live. He was praying it over and over again. I know what he was talking about. Do you sometimes get a prayer that you pray over and over to God? Several times in my life, I have. Several times a day, every day, for weeks or months. With one exception, perhaps my thorn in the flesh, whenever I've done this, I've experienced great power and personal change. Over the years, I've asked the Lord to teach me to put relationships over getting things done over and over. When I was in the seminary, I prayed for a long time that the Lord would center my spiritual life around the Eucharist. I've prayed tens of thousands of times to be led deeper into the heart of God. Now, his prayer was, Lord, teach me to live. And it's become my prayer, too. It means this. Most of the time, I know what to do. I've got it clear in my head, but I don't always do it. You know what I mean? It's sometimes because I sin, I fail, I make a bad choice. But many other times, it's because I don't know how. I know I need to pray. I know I need to have balance in my life. I know I need exercise, reasonable sleep, moderation in diet, friendships that renew me, and time with my family that I love. And my faith and tradition says I'm married to you. My temptation is to put work first. Everything else just gets the leftovers. And that doesn't work very well. Everything suffers as a result. So I say, Lord, help me to live. Help me to put it all together. What's your temptation? Is everything in your life in proper balance and perspective? Is the governing principle of your life the love of God? If it's not, you need to make it so. If it is, are all the parts working together? Do you pray every day? Essential for a disciple. If you say, I don't have time to pray, then I'll ask you, do you have time to eat? We make time for what's most important. With all the technology of modern life, technology that was supposed to give us so much leisure, I remember watching the Jetsons and thinking machines were going to do everything. Maybe because of all the technology, we live a frantic pace, under pressure, anxious and exhausted. Lord, teach us to live, to have you as the center, the throne of our hearts, directing our lives. Help us to manage all the parts of our lives, to do the things you ask us, only because you ask us to do them because you love us and want to love others through us. Teach us to live so that we might truly rejoice because we belong to you, so that we'll be free of anxiety and the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. John the Baptist says, prepare the way. At the end of time, prepare the way right now. Bear the fruit of repentance. What should we do? We cry. And the Lord says, let me teach you how to live.
Only I can put together the many parts of your life in a perfect whole. Will you let me teach you? Will you let me teach you how to live?